All right, how many of you are road warriors? How many of you have been on long road trips? Anybody here, long road trip kind of people? A few nodded heads, a couple of hands, not so many. I know you guys came across country. Talk about a huge road trip. When you grow up in upstate New York and you go to school in Florida, you make that trip often. When you still own a little cottage in upstate New York, God's country, you head back there often. I'm often on a long road trip. But I tell you, they're weary, are they not? I mean, when you're on a long road trip, what are the two things you really long for? Rest and a good meal, right? I mean, you just want rest. Let's get someplace that can be quiet, someplace that's comfy, someplace that's clean, someplace I can shower and get some rest, and someplace that has good food. Maybe when you're my size, that's an important thing to you, but when you're on a road trip, oftentimes the fast food options wear a little thin, right? And you want something a little bit more substantive, something better. I mean, you know, you got the different options. And thank God for Buc-ee's, right? I mean, let's just a little shout out for Buc-ee's. If you haven't been to Buc-ee's, you don't know what we're talking about. It's like a Costco on the interstate that has everything you need and everything you don't. And all in a very clean restrooms and good food. I mean, not just like, you know, like they literally are making brisket in front of you. And so, and you could have good food that's got like mac and cheese. I mean, we're talking about the really quality stuff, right? So why aren't there Buc-ee's everywhere? I don't know. And the question is, like, why do you get so tired on a road trip? I mean, think about it. You're sitting there for hours and you probably have it on cruise control, right? You're probably listening to something, but still you just got like really tired from the journey and you just long for that rest and that nice place that you could lay your head, that maybe that nice hotel or the end of your destination, that nice meal that hopefully somebody else is making. Well, listen, God's people in the Bible, they were on a really long road trip. They were on a long road trip from Egypt where they were enslaved for some 400 years. They were headed to the promised land. Because of their mischief and unbelief, they wound up having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Talk about a long road trip. And I'm telling you what, the food that God prepared for them and gave to them every day, called manna, which means what is it, they got sick of. I mean, can you imagine God's giving you every day, free of charge, bread from heaven, kind of like, you know? I'm like, man, this stuff, I'm just sick of this stuff. I'm just like, give me the onions and leeks back in Egypt. Let me go back. Can we not eat something else? Even when they ask for meat, God's going to give them some stuff, and that doesn't really turn out really well. But they were on a long road trip, but they were headed to a promised land. And a long road trip, as long as your destination is good, you're kind of like, okay, we'll endure, right? And this promised land that was to come was going to be a place flowing with milk and honey. It sounds like milkshakes maybe, you know what I mean? Flowing with really good stuff. But most of all, it was a place to rest. Can you imagine 40 years wandering? Can you imagine 40 years, I mean, just not feeling home? I mean, how long does it take you to long for home? How long does it take you when you're not in your own bed to long for your own bed? How long do you want your own routine? Can you imagine 40 years? That was a long time. Can you imagine that you just want some rest? We all long for a place of rest, especially in the midst of suffering. If you're suffering, if you're going through some hard times, if you're hurting, boy, do you long for some easier times from rest. Do you long for some really good news? Well, here's the really good news. No matter who you are, where you are, what journey you're on, God invites us into his rest. He invites us into his rest today, tomorrow, and forever. And the rest of God is a rest at the end of our journey when life is over. Scripture will tell us we could see him face to face. But it's more than just rest for what's to come. He says, I'll give you rest today. Rest during the journey. So while you're in the midst of the journey. So the writer of Hebrews, he's writing to a people who have embraced Christ as Savior. And things have started to get tough. And now that things are getting tough and they feel weary. They feel like, listen to this, they feel like they're still wandering in the desert, even though they've been long since in the promised land. And even though they embrace Jesus as Messiah, Because they suffered, they weren't resting. And because they were suffering, they wondered, should we turn back? Should we go back, not to Egypt, but to Moses, to the law? Is there a different way to get this? Because why is following Jesus so hard? How many of us can relate to that? How many of us can relate to the fact of why is following Jesus hard? I love the fact that Jesus was up front with us. He says, anybody who wants to live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. And they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And you're not home yet. So on your way home, it's going to be difficult, right? But I'm going to give you some rest today and rest for tomorrow. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, don't turn back. And don't think that you've missed it. There is a rest that we have in Jesus for today. So rest for today and a lasting rest for tomorrow. We're going to look at, church, three things today. We're going to see out of this passage in Hebrews 4, there's an invitation to enter God's rest. It starts off by saying the promise is still there. There's a promise that God has made throughout time to enter into his rest. It's still there. We're going to unpack that a little bit. There's the current and future rest for God's people. There, if you are his, and let me tell you what it means to be his biblically, it doesn't necessarily just mean church membership or baptism. Those are good and important. But if you're his, if you are in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, your hope is in another, in his life, death, and resurrection. If you are in Christ Jesus, we do have a rest today and a rest coming for tomorrow. So that's such good news. There's a current and there's a future rest for God's people. And we got to understand both. We got to say, okay, what do we promise today and what is still coming for tomorrow? And then lastly, we're going to see the urgency and necessity to enter God's rest. First thing is this, the invitation to enter God's rest. You might want to say, well, what is God's rest? Now, this is interesting. If you look through Hebrews 4 on the passage that Davis crushed reading, super job, Davis, 1 through 13, it talks about entering God's rest, his rest, a Sabbath rest. So this is more than just, I got a good night's sleep last night. This is the rest of God. And he's asking us, so his people, his creation, to enter in to his rest. So the question we want to say, well, what is God's rest? And God's rest, really, there's a couple things where we see it clearly. There's a creation rest and there's a redemption rest. So let's unpack this a little bit. The creation rest. God's rest is the place where God dwells, a place where God rules, a place where God reigns without chaos, without brokenness, without sin. It's a place that it always shall be that way. It's a place that it always shall have been that way. I'm really messing those words up. It's paradise. So what is God's rest? God's rest is a place where God and man can dwell together in harmony. It's a place where we could be comfortable in God's presence and that he can be loving us. And so it's basically how God created all things. God graciously invites us into this story of rest. And even in this passage, I love it. It's the second time he said it. It is said somewhere, as if he has like a senior moment. Like, where was that? You know, he's already quoted Psalm 8. He says, somewhere it says this, and he quotes Psalm 8. Now he's going to quote Genesis 2. It's kind of 1 and 2. Somewhere it says that God created everything, and on the seventh day he rested. And so it's talking about rest, and you want to ask the question, why do we go all the way back to the Sabbath? Why do we go back to this creation rest? And it's really important because here's what's happening. When God creates all things out of nothing, what does he create? It's like he's creating a place to display his glory. He's creating like a temple for his rule and reign to be in. And he creates a paradise for us to be in there with him. And so when God speaks all things into existence and when he looks at all things and he calls all things good, what is he saying? This is how it should be. And so the question is, why on the seventh day did God rest? Well, listen, let's make sure it wasn't because he was tired. This is Almighty God. It wasn't the way you and I feel after a day of yard work or a hard day of work or maybe a long time in the gym where you're just exhausted because you gave a lot of energy. That's not what God is resting about. God is resting over creation because it was complete. It was done. And it was good. It was good. And it was a place where God and man could dwell together in paradise. And he made man to dwell with him and to know him. And so man and God could have peace together. But we know, how long did that last? Well, not very long. I mean, although God created all good, he created creation and he rested, and it was there for us. It took us one chapter to sin and bring chaos back in the story, and everything is disturbed and everything is messed up. But here's the beautiful thing, church, the rest of the Bible. The Bible tells us that God created us for rest, and it tells us he rescued us for rest. In chapter 3 of Genesis, all the way through Revelation, is going to be the story of how God is going to restore us, bring us back into rest. It starts with a promise in 3:15 of a seed that will come that will destroy the death of Satan, take care of death, and he'll come and rescue us. And so you have this God of rest, the God of creation, and the God's work of redemption. And really, the entire Bible is going to tell us that story, but it's going to tell us the story of Jesus. The story of the Bible is the story of God's Son. I love it. On the road to Emmaus, that's what Jesus did in Luke 24. He takes those who had wished that Jesus was the Messiah, but now that he had died on the cross, it can't be the one. And he proves to them that the Messiah must suffer. It's all about him. It's all about how God has come in his Son to rescue us and bring us into his rest. He rescued us through a Savior, his Son Jesus. And what does Jesus say on the cross? Different words he says, but one of the greatest ones, it is finished. What is finished? What is finished? A sacrifice was made for sinners like us. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, lived a perfect life. He is now the atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. God's wrath is poured out on him. The curse is now he's bearing to break it. And he'll call out saying, it's finished. God's wrath has been absorbed. God's peace can now be celebrated. God's blessing, God's reality. So when he said it is finished, he's going back. He's saying it's complete. It's once again, it's good. And now you have throughout Scripture this gospel invitation. God's invitation, come and experience my rest. So what is it? It's God's rest. It's being in favor with him. You know, it's funny. I don't know why I can't get this out of my mind. But resting with God reminds me of when I was courting Katie and I wanted to find favor with her dad. And so it was important. You know, I'm going to marry this woman. And so let me find favor with a man who was a little bit taller than me. Son of a gun. A man who was a lot quieter than me. And I wanted to know, do I find favor? Do I have his favor? And so when you're somebody like me and you sit with somebody that you're trying to find their favor and you're not sure, you talk a lot. And this is not was a winning his favor, you know? Or you go do things he loves. He loved working in the yard. I would go and help him work in the yard. And every time I did, I would break his sprinkler system. I mean, I would put a shovel into some kind of thing. Every time we would come back with water all over us, right? And I longed to find the peace and the rest of his favor. I think I found it before we went to be with Jesus. But here we all long to find the peace and the rest of our God. And can we sit in his presence knowing we are loved and knowing we're his, knowing that we're enough? And this is the rest that all of us long for, that Jesus is asking us to enter in. So the gospel is the invitation for us to enter into God's rest. Because many of us go to God as if he's an angry father-in-law. But he's a merciful God. So how do we enter God's rest? Now listen, this is really interesting. God's rest, here's a formula for you. My favorite mathematician is in here. Welcome, Anthony. I love you, brother. And so here's a formula for you, Anthony. Good news united with faith. Good news united with faith equals God's rest. It's really interesting. If you looked at the passage, it says this in verse 2, chapter 4, 2, it says, for good news came to us just as to them. Who are the them? But the message they heard did not benefit them, whoever they are, we'll find out. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Isn't it interesting? Beautiful language here. They heard good news, It wasn't coupled with faith. And so it didn't benefit them. Who were the them? Well, this passage is quoted a few times, Psalm 95. And Psalm 95 is going to talk about God's people in the wilderness and that they hardened their hearts in disbelief. They didn't believe God, and God's wrath was upon them because of that. And they would die before getting to the promised rest, the promised land. It's very interesting. So who are them who heard the good news? Let me tell you, I just read it. I just read it in the book of Numbers. Anybody reading through scripture this year? I hope you are. You get to a time, and it's Numbers 13 and 14. So they're out of Egypt. They're headed to the promised land. And Moses says, okay, I need 12 really bad warriors. I need 12 of your, I need the SWAT team. I mean, I need the Marines. I'm going to send one from each tribe. You're going to go into the promised land. Tell us what you think, right? So they pick one man from each of the 12 tribes, including my man Caleb, who wound up serving the Lord wholeheartedly. That's why we named our son Caleb. And a man named Joshua, who interestingly is the same kind of name of Jesus as Savior, who will lead God's people in there, and 10 others. And they go into the promised land. They say, it's right. It's flowing with milk and honey. They're bringing back like huge things of fruit saying, look what's here. But guess what else they saw? Big and strong, like giant people there. So they come back and they say to the people in the wilderness, hey, good news. The land is awesome. Bad news. They're huge. There's no way. We go there, we're killed. It's better for us to go back. Let's get a leader and let's go back. And Caleb, excuse me, guys. Let me speak here. Those are like bread to us. We're going to eat them up because God is on our side. Are you absolutely kidding me? If God is with us and God is for us, we're going to mow down any giant in front of us. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Come on, man. Do you not see that pillar of fire at night? Do you not see the cloud? Are we not eating manna? Did we not see those 10 plagues? Is God not amazing? His arms aren't too short. Let's go. They're like, no, can't go. We're going to get killed. So two believe. Two hear good news and they believe. And they found the promised land. Hundreds of thousands heard the good news and didn't believe, and never found the promised land. You see what it is? It's good news plus faith equals rest. Good news plus faith equals rest. And if you don't have that faith, you're not going to ever rest. It has to be united. I mean, I guarantee you this church has heard good news. I mean, a number of people have heard the reality of who Jesus is, but have you coupled it by God's grace with the faith to say, I believe that he is God's son, my Savior. And have that, you can find rest. You see, here's the second thing. The absence of God's rest is God's wrath. Now, I know, listen, that most people will be blown away from that, but with that. The absence of God's rest is God's wrath. If you aren't resting in Christ Jesus, if he is not your Savior, the wrath of God remains upon you. According to Scripture, we're in one of two places. We're resting in him. Hey, our Father God loves us, or he doesn't. It's interesting because it says this in verse 3. For we who have believed entered the rest. Okay, you have that hearing and believed. As he said, as I swore, my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You see, it's a wrath. We either have found God's rest or we remain in God's wrath. A holy wrath because of our sins. Where are you? So Jesus is the source, the ultimate source of God's rest. And the only way to ultimately find God's rest is to find God's Son. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, right? He is our peace. He is the Father's beloved. We rest in him. And so here's what's happening to those who were that he's writing to in the book of Hebrews. They're wondering, is Jesus enough? Can we rest in him? Should we be looking for another? Should we go back to Moses? No, this is it. This is the anchor of your soul. This is the rest. This is God's peace right here in flesh. Jesus is not only the source of our rest, he's the invitation of our rest. Again, what was the call to worship? Jesus, in his own words, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the source. He is the invitation. In Christ alone do we find God's pleasure. In Christ alone do we find God's rest. In Christ alone do we find God's peace. Do you hear that? I mean, do you think you could do it on your own? You think it's Jesus plus you or Jesus plus anything? It's only Him. That's it. That's the source. That's the find the resting place. Without Jesus, God's wrath remains. And our only hope in God's rest is Jesus. Now listen, for those of you who think I'm crazy, has anybody ever heard of John 3:16? Okay, let me read you John 3:16. And let me see, let's get to the end of the chapter, and you might be surprised. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. What goodness. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Talk about rest. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Listen to this, verse 14. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then you get to verse 36. And listen to this, church. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. Rest or wrath? Christ or wrath? Peace or wrath? And he says, come to me, all you who are weary. God so loved the world that he gave you Jesus so that you could be invited into the good news of the story. And all we need to have is good news and God's grace and the faith. We have rest for today and rest for tomorrow. Current and future rest. That's to say, the current and future rest for God's people. This passage teaches us that there is a rest for God's people today and a future rest to come. I love it. It says in the past tense, God's people have entered. It's the aorist tense. It's past with ongoing implication. They've entered God's rest. God's people already have the rest of God in Jesus. Listen, if you're in Christ Jesus, no matter what the mirror tells you, no matter how your sins accuse you, we have peace in the blood and righteousness of Christ. Today, tomorrow, and forever. And God will lead his people to the promised land. It says, listen, if Joshua were led them into the promised land, that was it, he wouldn't have promised more to come. We know that there's more to come, right? That the true Joshua, the true Jesus, is going to lead us to what's more to come, the true promised land and the true rest to come. There's a rest for today, but it says that God's people are awaiting the Sabbath rest that remains still to come. That smiling pastor in Houston's wrong. The best life is not now. It's not available now. There still remains a rest to come. We still pray for little boys named Cam who have ADHD and now have the custody of a 75 and a 77-year-old. We still pray for those who suddenly have heart attacks. We pray for those who are widowed and widowing. We pray for those who are hurting and those who have mental illness. We still pray. Why? Because the best life still is to come. There's still a rest to come. But what can we rest from now? We rest from our wandering. We rest from our wandering because God's people were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and it was exhausting, even with God's presence with them. And we too, church, can feel like we're wandering in the wilderness and it can feel exhausting too. But remember, we have already, listen to this, we have already found our way to the promised land. Because Jesus is there, so are we. Listen, we sang Alive, Made Alive. We were saying it's right out of Ephesians 2. Let me pick up Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. We sang it. But listen to this. And raised us up with him and seated. This is past tense. This is already done. He raised us up with Jesus and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, there's something now and something future, he might show the immeasurable riches of grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the head of our church, is already home. He's already there. And it says, if he made it, we made it. We are there seated with him now. Mind-blowing. So the promised land has been secured because Jesus has opened it up and he's there. In the coming ages, he'll bring us home. We get to rest. We get to not only know that we don't have to wander, we get to rest. For by grace, let's keep reading, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that someone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for in advance. We rest from our work. We'll never get home because we're righteous. We get home because God's gracious. And Jesus was enough. We rest from wrath, the wrath of God, because we're in Christ. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I love the reality. His life was enough for us. His death was enough for us. The resurrection set us free. And then there's lastly this urgency and necessity to enter God's rest. So as I was leaving Costco, God's favorite store, this week, the gentleman that was checking the receipts, you know how you gotta go out there, you gotta check the receipts, make sure, count them all up, what's in your basket, make sure. You know what, by the way, I wasn't gonna tell you this. I got all in my car, and I put the last item that I had underneath the cart, I forgot it. It was this 6,000 rolls of toilet paper you can buy there. And I looked at my receipt, I thought, oh, they didn't charge me. I went back in, hey, you didn't charge me for this, I bought toilet paper. And they said, sir, it's the first item on your list. I'm like, oh. I wanted a reward for just saying, you know, hey, you know. And instead, I got the, like, you're a complete moron, sir. Well, as I was leaving, the guy who was checking me out, his name was Noah. I said, hey, Noah, my man. I said, hey, Noah, do you know what your name means in Hebrew? And it always surprises me when people don't. I figure if you're going to name your kid like Noah, tell him what it means. But he didn't know. I said, Noah, your name means rest in Hebrew. It's amazing because the story of Noah is the story of one who found rest in the midst of God's storms, the storms in life. I hope you find rest in him as well. You see, the story of Noah, I mean, isn't it amazing, the story of Noah and God's rest? Now, let's think about this for a minute. How many of you have seen a nursery that is filled with the scenes of Noah and the ark, and it's awesome? You got smiley giraffes, and you got all the animals all up there, all happy in a boat, and everybody's excited, and if you decorate your nursery with the story of Noah and his ark, you know what you're decorating your nursery with? It's the story of God's wrath. People were so messed up that he wiped out humanity. He sent a flood, and this flood was devastating. And he was smart enough to say, let's keep some of these animals that we've created. Let's make sure that they can be fruitful and multiply too. And let me find one who is righteous. And there was one. One. It's a horrific story. It's a story of sin and wrath. God wiped out humanity. God saved one man and one family. And God offered one boat. One lifeboat. One. You miss the boat, you die. Jesus is the only lifeboat. You miss the boat, you die. The wrath of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, you want to look at that story and say, is that really fair? There was one man and one boat. Couldn't there have been more? There's only one who found God's favor. There's only one that it rested upon. It was Noah. But he was a righteous man, and through Noah would come another man who would be the way, the truth, and the life. And there'd be another one. And listen, his life is like an ark. The only way to be safe in the midst of God's wrath is to hide yourself in the ark of Jesus and to know him as your Lord and Savior. And then when the floodwaters come, you'll be safe. Have you missed the boat? You see, there's an urgency through this whole text today. Today, the promises still stand today, but today, make a decision. Today, are you resting in Christ? Have you found the lifeboat? There's one that God offers. There's not many. He is the only one. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. And good news, church, if God's grace has transformed you and you've gone from being dead in your sins to alive in Christ Jesus, you're robed in his righteousness, his blood has separated your sins as far as the east is from the west, and you are beloved in Christ Jesus. Beloved! Either beloved or you're filled with wrath. Which one is it? I mean, we know we live in a world that just says, don't talk about God's wrath. Listen, if there's one boat, the most loving thing we could do is say, you don't want to miss that boat. Amen? Let's pray. Now, Father God, we pray that, first of all, just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your invitation to enter your rest. And God, we either enter your rest or we experience your wrath. We didn't even talk about the fact that at the end of this passage, it just reminds us that your word will not fail. This is true stuff. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, may your word pierce our hearts today. May we examine the reality and the offer to get on the only boat that you've offered, the boat of your son Jesus, that we could find your rest. God, forgive us for how much we work to earn our own way and to try to find our rest in our own righteousness. Oh, they're filthy rags. God, may we rest in you. This passage says, today, for those who hear my voice, don't harden your heart. God, I pray that the good news today that was proclaimed, that Jesus is the only way, I pray that you would give us the grace to couple that with believing in faith. Faith that Christ is our Savior, that we would confess our brokenness and our sinfulness, and we would embrace Jesus, and we would find your pleasure, your love, and your rest. Oh God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know that rest, may today be the day. Anybody listening online that doesn't know that rest, may today be that day. We thank you for the gracious invitation that Jesus himself gave to us, that we could come to him and find your rest. May King's Chapel do that today, tomorrow, and forever, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.